Hey, just recently we had an election here in Virginia, didn't we? We had an election. Were you pleased with the results? Oh, be quiet. I'm not asking you that. No doubt some people were very pleased with the results, and they looked at the results and the Republicans sweeping all the top state offices, and they said, oh, this is good news. Man, our nation is turning the corner and we're getting back on track. Now, doubtless there were other people who looked at the very same election results and they said, well, this is terrible. This is awful. The voters are turning the clock back and this is bad news. I don't like it. How about that? Same news, perceived very differently. Good news or bad news? You know, several weeks ago, Lee Thompson, our own Lee Thompson, was out in New Mexico for more than a week on a hunting trip. And on the Wednesday night that he was gone, we were sharing our prayer concerns before the Bible study time. And I asked everybody to pray for Gina Thompson, because her husband had left her. And I said, well, that's the good news. The bad news is he's coming back. And sure enough, he came back. So, in today's gospel, Jesus is telling his disciples some shocking news about this great, big, beautiful temple that they're walking around in. I mean, this was a massive building. The stones in it were huge, and it was a lovely, lovely building. And Jesus says, well, it's going to be destroyed. And he went on to talk about a bunch of other scary stuff, like wars and rumors of wars. And you follow, hey, Scott could have kept on reading the whole rest of the chapter, and it's one disaster after another, and persecution, and trials and difficulties, and just some bad, bad stuff. And it sounded an awful lot like bad news. And then what does Jesus, in our scripture we read this morning in verse 8, what does he say this is? Well, you know what this is, folks. This is a birth. It's a birth. How could that be? I mean, the temple was the center of their religious life, the national life of Israel. The Jews had lost so much to the Romans in the occupation, but they had their temple. They thought of the temple in Jerusalem as being the center of the earth. They couldn't imagine that there would be a time when it did not exist. And Jesus talks about it being destroyed and one stone not being even left upon another, and he talks about it as if it's good news. Hey, that's good news. I guess all this dramatic talk from Jesus is his way of saying that the present arrangements of the world are not necessarily the way God intends for them to be. We tend to think that God did a lot of work. A lot of people think God did a lot of work to create the world and then he retired. You know, seventh day he rested and all that stuff, and he's just been real passive ever since. But what if God is constantly creating? What if God is constantly recreating, not only within the natural environment, but even in the lives and the institutions of human beings? What if everything that happens, even the bad stuff, happens because God lets them be that way before he turns them toward his intended good? What if that's the case? And what if we were to keep on looking for God's new heaven and his new earth? Perhaps church people today are find it too easy to settle down and to settle in and just kind of be satisfied with the way things are. Well, this is the best of all possible worlds. Don't look for anything better. Some friends of Debbie and me are members of another church in our association in our area, and they describe the mindset of some of their members who have trouble accepting the fact that the world around them is changing and that their church is changing. And they've described for us long, contentious business meetings where someone has the church bylaws handy and most often cited as some reason or another why, well, the church can't do this, well, the church can't do that. And as one of these soul-minded members said in a plaintive sort of way, "I just want things to be the way they were." Well, you and I know it ain't going to happen, is it? Because there will always be things changing. C.S. Lewis says most of us Christians are too easily pleased, as he put it. We have this human tendency to think that human institutions have divine permanence, and they don't. Human institutions aren't divine. They aren't permanent. They're here today and gone tomorrow. And that's what Mark 13 really reminds us of, that God isn't done with the world yet. And sometimes things cannot be made new until the old is destroyed and done away with. Apparently, God needs the temple, the big building temple, to be swept away and destroyed so that people might see and concentrate on the true temple. And what did Jesus go on to say was the true temple? A building? No, I said, it's me. It's me. You tear down this temple and in 3 days I'll build it back up. You got to get your eyes off buildings, folks, and religious institutions and upon the things that man creates. You're supposed to see Jesus. That's what he says. It's him. God is the God of creation, but creation rarely takes place without some dismantling, without some destruction, without some recreation. You ever work construction? You know, building buildings or restoring buildings? I've heard guys who are in construction say, and I saw it myself when I worked for my father-in-law, it's a whole lot easier to build a new building, to start from scratch with a vacant lot. It's a whole lot easier to build than it is to do renovation work or to replace or repair something that's already in place. And I saw it because when we did restoration work, you know what the first thing we had to do was destroy. We had to tear up the carpet. We had to rip up a lot of boards. We had to tear down the sheetrocks. Had to take a sledgehammer to the walls and rip things all to pieces before we could then create whatever the person wanted created for their building or their office. Now, is that process of destruction, is that bad news or good news for the building that's being worked on? Ultimately, it's good news. The New York Yankees just played their first season in their new stadium, and they won the World Series. What do you think of that? Boo. Old Yankee Stadium was right next door, had this long history and tradition, but do we mourn its passing? No, apparently the new Yankee Stadium is better suited for Major League Baseball in the year 2009 and for its fans. I think I understood the other week the New York Giants played their last game in their old stadium. Going to be torn down or done away with. New stadium is on the way. You can go all around the country and find the very same thing has taken place. Old stadium, no longer adequate, tear it down, do away with it, build a new one. It's just a building. What difference does it make? Big deal. That's what Jesus says about buildings. Now, what about people? What about people? Has anybody here had to die in order to live? Does someone here know what it's like to have their temple destroyed? Only to be replaced by something better? Has your very bad news ever become good news? A lady told her pastor. She said, "When my husband died, it felt as if my life was over. I told God, I've got nothing to live for now. My world is destroyed. But wonder of wonders, I didn't die. I went on, not with the same life, but with a new life. I wouldn't have chosen my marriage to end, to be alone, and yet that's the life I got. And I must say, it's turned out for the best." Now that sounds like a person who has discovered that it's possible to move from bad news to the next good thing that is available. A member of Will Williman's church was a very successful lifetime banker. And Williman tells us about the time that quite suddenly this banker was very unceremoniously fired. Two of the board members walked into his office one day and just came in and told him to clean out his desk. Williman found the guy the next day lying on his sofa at home, just staring at the ceiling, absolutely horribly depressed. He said, that bank was my life. I left home every morning at 6:30. It was my whole life. So now that it's gone, my life is gone. When Williman saw the man a couple of months later, he looked different, but he looked much improved. And when Williman asked him how he was getting along, the guy said, I didn't have the guts to quit, so the bank did it for me. I should have done it 20 years ago. I'm better off now. I gave more to that bank than I should have. Maybe Jesus knew what he was talking about when he said the destruction of the temple can turn into good news, can turn into a birth, can even turn into a rebirth if we just hang around long enough and see. You know, the Gospel of Mark contains a whole lot of sad events, a lot of bad things. Have you ever noticed that? You ever read the Gospel of Mark? Well, there's confusion on the part of the disciples. There's failure on their part. There's a lack of faith on their part. There's this, all this ugly hostility from the religious leaders and the things going on in that day. It was rough. It was terrible. It was bad. And what's the worst thing that happens in Mark? The torture and the murder of Jesus. And yet, all that bad stuff is there. And how does this book start? Very first verse. The good news of Jesus Christ. And he's not just talking about one little part of it. All this whole thing is good news. Isn't that amazing? Isn't that interesting? It's all part of the good news. You see, it's really human for you and me to cling to what we know and what we have. And we think, this is it. And this has always got to be here for me. But maybe it's divine to have it yanked away from us so that we can experience a birth, to create a new future that wouldn't be possible if that thing or whatever it is still there. And perhaps we've come to church today to learn and look for God's hand. Even in the news that seems bad, we can expect God to be at work to move us toward the good news. Mike Iaconelli was a well-known pastor and a very good Christian writer. I read a lot of his works and articles that he wrote for a Christian magazine called The Door. Mike Iaconelli wrote in the March 1998 issue about his life changing. A very frightening illness was facing him. It was a time of dying and rising, he said, for him. And he admitted that this experience was kind of like finding God, where you're smelling the sweet fragrance of God, and yet at the same time you have this dreadful sense that it's going to ruin your life forever. He said he experienced both. And then he wrote this. He said, once you find where the trail is, you are faced with a sobering truth. In order to go on, you must let go of what brought you here. It's like swinging on a trapeze. Once you have gained the courage to swing, you never want to let go. And then, without warning, around age 50 for me, you look up and see another trapeze swinging towards you, perfectly timed to meet you. And you realize that you're being asked to let go and grab onto the other trapeze. You have to release your grip. And you have to reach out. You have to experience the glorious terror of in-betweenness as you disconnect from one and reach for the other. And then Iaconelli says, I haven't reached the other bar yet. I'm somewhere in between. But I can tell you this, my heart is filled with an exhilaration and an anxious anticipation that just as I get to the other bar, I will not grasp it, but I will instead be grasped by the hand of Jesus. I can hardly wait. Wow. Sometimes life is like this trapeze, and you're hanging onto the one bar, and here comes the other one, and you gotta let go. Now, maybe right now, for you in your life, you're in some kind of in-between stage, some kind of letting go stage and gonna grab onto the next thing stage. And it's scary, isn't it? Perhaps life's not like that for you now at all, but it has been, hasn't it? Or it will be in the future. I guarantee you, it will. But just as Jesus urged his friends to let go of the temple, let it go. You got to let go of your idol. You've got to let go of your temple. And you've got to do that so you can grab on to Jesus, the Son of God. The stuff in your life today that you think is bad news, somehow by the mysterious grace of God, that just might be news that is very, very good. We'll see. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, you know the burdens on our hearts. Personal, deep, and true. Nobody sitting around us knows, Lord, but you do. Father, we thank you for Jesus' words. We thank you for the promises. We thank you for the catching that you do of us. We thank you for turning bad news into good news. We don't understand it. A lot of times we don't like it. But Lord, it's your way. And it's great. Thank you. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.